Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Back in the 1980s, there was a professional boxer named James Quick Tillis. James was a cowboy from Oklahoma who moved to Chicago and fought out of Chicago during the 1980s. And he was a pretty good fighter. In 1986, he took Mike Tyson the distance in a very narrow loss. So he was really, really pretty good. Well, he still remembers his first day in the Windy City of Chicago when he arrived from Tulsa, Oklahoma. In his own words, he said, "I got off the bus with two cardboard suitcases under my arms in downtown Chicago, and I stopped in front of the mighty Sears Tower. I put my suitcases down, and I looked up at that tower, and I said to myself, I'm going to conquer Chicago. When I looked down, my suitcases were gone. I'm going to conquer Chicago." What is that? Well, that's called pride. And in Proverbs 16, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." We all know that Bible passage, but so often that's what happens with pride. As soon as we get full of pride, things around us begin to fall apart. Yes, there are perils to pride. Paul found that out in our epistle lesson for today. It starts out, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like this." Well, who's Paul talking about here? He's talking about himself. He's speaking about himself in the third person, but very quickly, as we're going to see as we go through this passage, he moves from the third person to the first person. So he's talking about himself. He said, 14 years ago, I had this incredible vision where I was caught up into paradise. What's paradise? Well, it's the same place that Jesus said to the criminal on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." In other words, today you're going to be with me in heaven. And so Paul got the opportunity to see something that all of us wish that we could see. He actually got a chance to see it. He got to be caught up to God in heaven. And because he had such an amazing vision that nobody else around him was having, it was so easy for him to get a little sense of pride, thinking he's maybe a little bit better than everybody else. Well, what is pride? We just had an entire month in our country called Pride Month. But what is the biblical definition of pride? I like this definition. Pride is whenever we falsely think we can live our lives well apart from the presence and will of our Heavenly Father. One more time. Pride is whenever we falsely think that we can live our lives well apart from the presence and will of our Heavenly Father. Whenever we look at the person in the mirror and say, "I'm the man," or "I'm the woman, I don't need any help. I've got it all under control. I don't even need God to help me." That's pride. And pride oftentimes comes before a fall. In James chapter 4, verse 6, it says this, "God opposes the proud," those that are full of pride, but he shows favor to the humble. So here's my question. Do you want God to be in opposition to you? Or do you want him to show favor to you? Because he opposes, he goes against those that are full of pride. I don't need any help. I don't need you, God. But on the other hand, when we're humble, in other words, when we are recognizing our need for God, he comes to the rescue and shows favor and blessing to those. And so it continues on in 2 Corinthians 12. Paul says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, in order to keep me from being full of pride because of all of those amazing visions that I had been given, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. This is where this passage gets a little difficult here. Paul says, in order to not become conceited and full of pride, God allowed there to be a thorn in my flesh. Now, that doesn't sound a whole lot of fun, doesn't it? We think of maybe a thorn from a rose bush getting stuck into our skin. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun. But listen to this. If you look at that word actually in the Greek, it can mean a thorn like that, or it can also mean a 6 or 8 inch tent peg. Now that really wouldn't be fun to have one of those jammed through your skin. In order to keep Paul from being conceited, he says, God allowed me to get a thorn or a tent peg in my skin. Now, what was that? I don't think he was literally talking about a tent peg being driven through or even a thorn in his skin. It was a problem that was annoying him at the very least, and at the very most, it hurt. Some people have said that it was an eye problem. Maybe Paul struggled with eyesight and asked God to give him his eyesight back. Other people have said that it may have been a relationship or a sin that he was dealing with. I personally think that the context says that thorn in the flesh is that wherever Paul went to share the gospel, there were people that were in opposition to him. And not only did they speak negatively about him, they tried to kill him wherever he went. 3 times, Paul says, I pleaded with the Lord to take this thorn out of my flesh, take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, the Lord said, I'm not going to take it away right now, but my grace is going to be more than sufficient for you while you deal with this. Here's my first question. Why wouldn't God take away a problem from Paul or from us right away? Doesn't he love us? Well, of course he loves us. In fact, Jesus talks about that on the Sermon on the Mount. If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father love to give good gifts to his kids? Yes, he loves us. Just a little bit of confession time. Because I was thinking this week about this sermon all week long, I was doing a little bit of self-reflection. Over the last 5 years, off and on, I've dealt with some health challenges, and I have to admit this. When I am going through those health challenges, I am constantly in prayer. I am constantly seeking the Lord and his help through it. And in that relationship with him, I'm hearing him. I'm understanding maybe a little bit better what he wants out of me. But during those times over these last 5 years that I haven't been going through a thorn in my flesh, so to speak, it's during those times that it's a whole lot easier for me to not spend as much time in prayer, and not spending as much time in prayer with Him, I find myself sometimes thinking that my life is my own and not His to do with as He sees fit. And then I get off base so quickly. Maybe you can relate to that in your life as well. You see, the more trials that we go through, the more that we recognize our need for God. And the more that we recognize our need for God, the more time we will spend with Him in prayer, asking, Lord, help me. Help me through this. And the more time that we spend with the Lord in prayer, the closer we get to Him. And the closer we get to Him, the more that we're going to hear His voice, not only in regard to our trials, but also for everything else in our life as well. And the more we hear from Him, the more effective we'll be in living our lives for Him, which, by the way, is the meaning of life in the whole, in the first place. That's the meaning of life, is to spend our lives doing what the Lord put us here to do. And sometimes it all begins with a trial that we're going through, because it leads us back to God. Paul, recognizing this, then says this, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I'm going through those weaknesses, when I've got that thorn sticking out of my flesh, and I call upon Him, then He gives me His strength. Once again, I have to confess, Paul says here, I delight in weaknesses. I delight when that thorn is in my flesh. I'm not there yet. Maybe you're not there yet either. But that's my prayer. Lord, help me. Help me to delight in those things which lead me closer to You, even if it's not exactly comfortable. There's so many questions. Maybe as we're going through this, you've got a lot of questions going through your head as well. Here's a couple that you might have that I have had over this past week. Number one, so you're saying that God is causing my problems to keep me humble? Pastor, I thought you said that Jesus said that God loves us. Why would He cause problems? I'm a father. If one of my kids is going through something that is hurting them, I'm going to do everything I can to stop them from being hurt. Well, God is the perfect father. And in Isaiah 55, it says that His ways as a perfect father are different, are better, are higher than our ways sometimes. Is God causing my problems in order to keep me humble? Well, kind of. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the book of Job. In chapter 1 of Job, this encounter goes on in heaven where Satan comes before the throne of God. And they're talking about Job. And Satan says, you know, you say that Job loves you, God, but he only loves you because you've given everything that he's ever wanted or needed. But what I would like to see is, if I took everything away from him, would he still love you? In other words, he was asking God, do I have your permission to take some things away from him to see? And in one of the harder passages in the Bible to understand, God allows him permission to do so. Notice that in our passage for today, it says he was given a messenger from Satan. a thorn in his flesh. In other words, if you are going through something and you're praying and asking God to take it away, did God give that to you? No, but he may have permitted it for a time, just like he did for Job, because he's got big things in mind for you and for me. You see, God isn't as concerned about our temporal comfort as much as he is about helping us to accomplish all that we were put here to accomplish. Remember, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. In the end, what does God want to do? He wants to show favor to you. And he knows that as long as we're full of pride, thinking that we can do life without him, he can't do what he wants to do. But if through a temporary thorn in our flesh that is really harming us or annoying us, he can draw us back to himself, then he can do what he wants to do, and that is to show favor and to help you and to show himself to you. How about this question? So if I call out to God and he doesn't help me right away, does that mean that this problem is my thorn in the flesh and he's never going to take it away from me? Here's our very important point of the day. And if you don't remember anything else, remember this, because I think it is life-changing if you take this to heart. Seek God until you hear from him. Seek God until you hear from him. That's what Paul did. When he had that thorn in his flesh, that thing that was causing him heartache, what did he do? He didn't pray once. He didn't pray twice. He prayed three times. You say, well, I've prayed lots of times for my thorn in my flesh. Well, we're not talking maybe a 30-second prayer here. Paul could be referring to, I took a week out of my life to call out to God about this three times. He wasn't going to take no answer as an answer. And finally, God spoke to him. What did he say? Basically, I'm not going to take it away from you right now. But trust me, my grace is going to be more than sufficient for you in the midst of this thing that you're going through. In Jeremiah chapter 7, Jeremiah was calling out on behalf of his people who at the time were super rebellious against God. And over again, he was calling out. He wasn't going to take no answer as an answer. And finally, the Lord spoke to him and said, pray no more for these people, Jeremiah. Don't weep or pray for them, and don't beg me to help them, for I will not listen to you. A hard answer, but what was it? It was an answer of no, I'm not going to help them right now. I've got bigger plans than you can possibly understand for all of them. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus shares an amazing story. He says this man came to his friend's house at midnight and started rapping on the door. And the guy inside the house gets out of bed, looks out the window and says, why are you knocking on my door at this hour of the night? And he says, I got some unexpected company and I don't have anything in the house to feed them. Can you get me some bread or something to feed them? And the guy says, my family and I are all in bed. Come back tomorrow morning and I'll make sure that you've got what you need. But the guy wouldn't take no for an answer. He kept on knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. And finally, Jesus said in the story that the man came down and gave him what he needed, not because he was his friend, but because of his persistence. You know, I think sometimes it's so easy for us to pray, and when we don't hear an answer right away, we take it as an automatic no. Well, God must not want to help me. In this passage here, it was through persistence that he did come to his aid. And then Jesus follows it up with these words, "So I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." So once again, when you're going through a hard thing in your life, seek the Lord. This is the reason maybe that you've got that thing in your life right now. Seek him until you hear from him. What are you going to get? You're going to get one of two things. If you are determined to seek him with all your might, because it says in Jeremiah, you will seek him and find him when you seek him with all your heart. If you seek him with all your heart, you're either going to get, "My grace is going to be sufficient for you in the midst of this," or, like in Luke 11, you're going to get, "I'm going to give you your miracle." Either way, it's going to be awesome. You see, this is the whole reason that Jesus came to this earth to live that perfect life and to die for us on that cross, so that we could come to him. So that we could come to God, having all of our sins washed away, all of that stuff that kept us from God. But now, because Jesus did that on that cross, because he took all of our sins upon himself and paid for them once and for all, you and I can go to him. You and I can seek him with all of our heart. And as we do so, his promise is, "You will find me. You will get an answer if you don't give up." And so my prayer for all of us here today is that when we are going through those hardships, those thorns in our flesh that are really annoying us or are really causing us heartache, that we would do the purpose for which they were sent, and that is to go before him, seek him with all of our heart, and find that his grace is going to be sufficient for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.